My name is Mandy, and I'm doing the reading this morning. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, 1 to 6, verses 1 to 6, and chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Chapter 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all, and in all. Chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to the God for the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now pray for Jason as he comes to give us the Lord's message today. Amen.
Jason. Good morning, dear family. How are you enjoying our journey through Ephesians? Been interesting? We've had this... Okay, sorry, I didn't give my husband the chance to test this beforehand, so I'll just talk a little. That's all right now? Okay. We've had this magnificent picture of what God has done in his people and through his church. The picture of the church and ourselves as a masterpiece, God's handiwork, God's poem. We've been chosen. We've been adopted as his own family. We've been given abundant grace and love and forgiveness. We were dead in our sins, but we've been raised in Christ. We've been saved by grace through faith. Should I use this? Yeah, I might change to this. Hello. Not from the top. We'll just keep going. We've been saved by grace through faith. Jews and Gentiles have been brought together into one household. We've been formed into a new humanity through Jesus' death and his life. We're God's people. We're God's household. We're God's temple. We have all the grace and the power to approach God with confidence. We have more than all we can ask or imagine through his power that works through us. To God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And that's where we're up to. And now Paul changes gear. And in the first verse of chapter 4, he says this, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So what he's saying is, given everything I've just laid out, this is how to respond. This is how to live. And then he gives us two whole chapters on how to live, two whole chapters of instructions. And that's what runs from chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 5, verse 20. Two whole chapters of instructions. Are you ready for these? It can be easy to get overwhelmed. How are we going to even remember all of these, let alone do them? Well, I hope that this morning we'll be able to work through them and find a way forward. And I want you to begin by resisting seeing these instructions as a big list of do's and don'ts, because that's how our kind of Westernish mind tends to work. I'd rather you saw it like this. How does that come up? Not bad. Okay, this is not my example of a masterpiece. This is a cat from the internet. But it could have been a celebrity. That was about the only other choice. This is a photo mosaic. So when we look at it like that, we see the cat's face. But then if we're to zoom in, we start to see that the whole picture is made up of tiny pictures. It's pretty cool. And I think it's a helpful way to view Ephesians here. So what Paul has done is he has painted this big picture for us, this beautiful masterpiece, and now he's going to zoom in and look specifically at what does this look like on the ground? What does this look like as it's lived every day? And as I worked on this passage during the week, I began to see that it's not just a list of instructions. There's actually a pattern in here. And patterns always help, don't they, to help us to grasp what the content of things. There are five statements scattered through this passage, and each of them centres on either living or walking. And depending on what translation of the Bible you look at, some say walk and some say live in all these different sections. So walking and living. Paul likes this image of walking as the way we live. It's kind of, it makes sense, isn't it? If we're going to follow Jesus, then if we're walking, it's kind of an active, progressive way of living, and that's what we want. Life's not just rushing past us. We are walking purposefully through life. So each of these live or walk statements sort of has a surrounding set of instructions that all have kind of a theme, and they're like a little mini picture in themselves. So we're going to have a look at zooming in on some of these mini pictures. Here's the first one. We are going to read it. There's no way around it. We're going to have to read through here. But I'm going to do it hopefully in a way that doesn't bog us down too much. Here's our first section, as Mandy began. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. There's our live statement. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now you might remember we've had a look at this part of the passage fairly recently. Do you remember? I think it was me. Each of us are gifts to the church, and we are given gifts for the purpose of building up the church. And the journey to unity is one that we all do together. We need each other to become one, to become mature in Christ, our head. But you'll notice that around this walk live statement, there's a whole lot of, all of these things are about being one. Did you notice that? About being unified. And even the ones that don't obviously seem to be speaking about that, they're all things that would actually help you do a good job of being unified. Things like being humble and being gentle and patient and bearing with one another in love. These are all pretty useful for unity. Just imagine if we lived into those, how unified we could be. The idea that our gifts are not for ourselves or even for God, but for each other, for the whole. We become mature together. These are all great ingredients for being one. So our first statement, live life worthy of the calling you've received, be one. Here's our next mini picture. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Okay, so in this mini picture, the live, walk statement is about no longer living as the Gentiles do. For us, we might say no longer living as the world around us does, or even as we used to do before we knew Jesus. Paul's speaking to Gentiles here. He's reminding them of where they've come from and insisting in the Lord that they not fall back on the lives they used to live. And it's not a pretty picture that he paints, is it? Did you notice that the darkness and the separation, the futile thinking, that all stems from hard hearts? It's not that hard hearts come out of those other things, but it begins with hardness in the heart. And that phrase there about losing sensitivity, it's actually literally talking about when, you know, when hard skin builds up and you get a callus, and therefore you no longer have the same sensitivity. You can't, you know, in summer when your feet get hard, you can't feel the pain. You also can't feel the tickle. You're deadened. And I guess life is easier like that. And it's less risky, and perhaps it's less dangerous and less vulnerable. But if we are hard and calloused, we are cut off from God. We can't feel him either. Christians simply cannot live like this. We need soft hearts. We need hearts that are open to others and to God, even though that means we're vulnerable to cost, to risk, to being hurt. We can't hang on to the comfortable parts of our former lives. We need new clothes, new self, new mind. Okay, next picture. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Did you catch the walk, live command? It's at the end here. Other versions say imitate God, but this one says follow God's example. And all of these instructions here feeding into that walking in love. It talks about truth We need practical examples of how to love. Well, here are some great ideas. Courageously and respectfully speak truth to each other. Deal with anger before it becomes toxic. Contribute rather than take away. I'm not sure how many thieves we have here this morning, but even the attitude of giving rather than taking is one of love, isn't it? Speak only words which build others up. Everyone, that is, not just our friends, but everyone. No snarky comments, no criticizing or tearing down. Be kind and compassionate. Be loving. How are you doing? Two to go. Live as children of light. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Did you see the live walk statement in verse 8 to 10? Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. The idea here of darkness and light is that darkness is a place that hides things. Whereas when we're in the light, nothing can be hidden. Everything is out there. And if we are pure, we don't need to hide anything. Paul lists another whole lot of practical suggestions for purity: being sexually faithful, running hard from temptation, resisting greed, and once again, conversation. What is our conversation circle around? You know, it's pretty easy often to work out what pleases the Lord if we stop and ask the question. Okay, last mini picture. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is interesting. Being careful. It's often thought of as being rather kind of boring and uncool, isn't it? Being careful. But Paul's recommending it here as a wise way to live. Careful, wise living means making the most of every opportunity we have. And if we're not careful and if we're not paying attention, we'll miss them. Careful, wise living means understanding God's will. That makes sense. And it also means being careful what we hand control to. So as an example here, alcohol or drugs. If we hand control to them, that will lead only to, well, debauchery, it says here, evil, sin, and certainly away from God. Or we can hand it to the Spirit, who we can utterly trust. Unless we make the mistake of thinking that a careful life is tedious and lackluster, we get a taste of the joy and thanksgiving of being filled with the Spirit. Okay, wow, we've raced through this, haven't we? I haven't really done much more than just point some things out as we've gone. In some ways, these pictures could each have a whole sermon for themselves. We could unpack it. We could look really closely at it. But on the other hand, we already know all this stuff, don't we? We know this all already. I suspect that no one here is shocked this morning to discover that to live a worthy life, we need to be loving, to be one, to be pure, to be different, to be wise. We know these things, don't we? Even those outside the church can recognize what worthy living looks like. It's the knowing that's easy. It's the doing that's constantly, grindingly difficult. So, Paul, we know all this stuff. What have you got for us in terms of doing? How are you going to help us here? Well, in order to get some help, we need to look back at this whole letter so far. Don't worry, I'm not going to read it. The first three chapters give us this amazing picture of who we are. We are children of God. We are Jesus' beloved church. We zoom out and we see those big truths. As far as God's concerned, we're already one. Jesus has achieved that for us. As far as God's concerned, we are already different. We've been adopted into his family. We've become his children. As far as God's concerned, we are alive. We are alive in Christ. We are God's handiwork. We are at peace with each other. The spirit of wisdom and revelation is within us. Do you remember what Jason said right back at the beginning of this journey? He said these words, "What do we lack? What do we lack? We lack nothing. And yet, we're painfully aware that we don't measure up. None of us have all these five things sorted, I think. I certainly don't. All of us have work to do. Does that mean that the big picture is not really true? No way. God's truth will always outstrip everything, even our own reality as we experience it. No. Hear what Paul is saying. He's saying this: live into it. Live into these wonderful truths. What do I mean by live into it? I mean acting on what we believe, even if we don't feel it. I'll give you a personal example. When I first stood up in front of you, I don't know if you remember this, I said, "Good morning, my dear family," the very first time. And that might have sounded a bit odd to you. I'm aware of that. In fact, to be honest, it sounded a bit odd to me. But it's the big truth. You are my dear family. Not because I know you all so well that you're like my own brothers and sisters. That's not yet true. But as far as God's concerned, he's given me to you and you to me, and we are family. He's the father of all of us. And so rather than waiting for my feelings to line up, I decide to live into it. I'm seeking to live into that truth and to act it before I feel it. And you know what? It already feels more true than it did at first. Through Ephesians, God is urging us to be who we are, to live into the truths that we believe, even if it feels a little odd at first. Now, living into it, it's not the same as faking it till we make it, because it's already true. God's truth is not fake, it's big, it's real. It's not saying pull our socks up, because that would be a list of things to do, whereas we're being somebody new. It's a bit more like believing it till we see it and acting it till we know it. Perhaps we don't feel one with everyone else at church. Live into the big truth that we've been made one in Christ. Perhaps we do find some people hard to love. Perhaps we don't feel very wise or pure, or we find ourselves making an unkind comment. We know we're not the people we would like to be. Live into the truth of who God says we are, knowing that the Spirit is at work in us, that we are God's not quite finished handiwork. Don't be satisfied with where you are. Don't be afraid to try living into it. Remember that abundant grace and power is there for us, ready and waiting. We lack nothing but our own willingness. So let's live lives worthy of the calling we've received. Let's live into it. We're going to pause now and bring our thoughts and our questions and feelings to God. And then we're going to pray together. So let's just pause. Close your eyes if you'd like to. I'd encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit this question. Which area of worthy living do I need to live into? As we work through it, which area stung the most? Was it being one? Finding it hard to bear with others? Being humble or gentle? Was it being different? Is it too easy to slip back into old habits? Was it being loving? Are you tempted to be unkind? Was it being pure? Are there things in your thought life or your conversation that need to change? Was it being wise? Have you been missing opportunities or letting others do the thinking for you? What do you need to live into? Our Father God, help us to see ourselves as you see us. Help us to live into the big truths that you have laid out before us, of who we are, of what you have done for us. Help us to take hold of the grace and the power, the love and the forgiveness that you pour out for us. Make us into who we truly are.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.